Now today our lesson will take us into chapter 16 of the Acts of the Apostles. I want to study with you today the first 10 verses of this chapter. Let me read those verses first of all. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him to circumcise him, because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavoured to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of the verses, and I trust you'll find time at home to restudy them. Now this lesson deals with the first part of Paul's second missionary journey, and sets forth some difficulties, some delights, and decisions which ultimately lead to the expansion of the work into Europe. Now at this stage we should keep in mind that the Lord's commission to his disciples was this. They were to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Then again in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 you will recall, he said, Ye shall be my witnesses when the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you. They were to be witnesses first in Jerusalem and Judea, then in Samaria, and on to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now in chapter 15, there was a chapter set in between the end of Paul's first missionary journey and the commencement of his second missionary journey. You recall that in his first missionary journey he went to the island of Cyprus, then from there up onto the mainland, Asia Minor, what today we call Turkey. And he labored there in different cities and then came back to Antioch in Syria. At the end of chapter 15, Paul indicates to Barnabas that they ought to go again and visit their brethren in every city where they had preached the word of the Lord, just to see how they do, and that is to encourage them. And you remember a little dissension came in between Paul and Barnabas. These were both good men. They both had the same ideas of what should be done, but they disagreed as to how it should be carried out. Barnabas wanted to take his nephew with them, young John Mark, but of course Paul didn't want to risk taking him again, because they took him in the first instance and he left them and went back. What has happened in the interval, we're not sure, but at least Uncle Barnabas seems to be persuaded in his own mind that John Mark has been restored fully to the Lord, but Paul doesn't want to take the risk, and so these two good men split company. Barnabas took John Mark and he went to the island of Cyprus. Paul took another younger man with him by the name of Silas, and then off they went, and he went round the mainland while Barnabas went to the island of Cyprus. Paul goes round with Silas round the mainland to visit again the assemblies in Asia Minor. Now, right there at the beginning then of chapter 16, they came to Derbe and Lystra. And while they were there, they found a young man by the name of Timotheus. That's the man you referred to as Timothy. Now, Timothy plays an important part in the spread of the gospel and the establishing of new churches. That is, from this point in church history. And some particular things should be noted regarding this young man. We have two books in the New Testament that were addressed to him, what's called First and Second Epistles to Timothy, written, of course, by Paul, and especially the second epistle is reckoned to be the last one that Paul wrote while he was in prison at Rome awaiting the day of his execution, and he sent it to this young man Timothy. Now, Timothy journeyed quite a lot with Paul and received certain assignments, work that had to be carried out. So therefore it's worthwhile knowing a little about this young man. The first thing we learn about him was that Timothy was a converted young man. He wasn't born a Christian, but he became a Christian. Paul speaks of him as his son in the faith, which seems to indicate that Paul was instrumental in leading him finally to make the decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. But young Timothy was a very commendable young man because he was brought up, no doubt, in a good atmosphere. His mother, who was a Jewess, had believed, that is, she had become a Christian, and he had a grandmother who also taught him the Word of God. So therefore, with his mother and his grandmother, he was well taught as a child. Paul says so to him in writing one of the letters. He speaks of the Holy Scriptures, which thou hast known from a child. So he was taught the Holy Scriptures, but there came the time when Paul and Barnabas came on their first missionary journey, and it would appear that that was the time when Timothy listened to the preaching of these men. It confirmed in his heart and mind what his mother and his grandmother had taught him, and at that time he became what you and I would call a converted young man. Now, in the interval between his conversion and the time that Paul comes back, this time in company with Silas, and they come again to the town where Timothy was living. And it says concerning this young man that he was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. In plain words, his life now as a Christian was very commendable. He was a commendable young Christian gentleman. It seems now he had been exercising himself. They knew something about his gift. They knew about his work. And so therefore they were able to speak to Paul about young Timothy and tell Paul what this young fellow was able to do. And when Paul perceived that he was a young man gifted of the Lord, this was the young man they should take with them to join the team. And so now that you have Paul and Silas, these two are joined together at the end of chapter 15. It says, "And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God." And now when they come to the town where Timothy is living, they would have Timothy to go with them. It says, "Him would Paul have to go forth with him and to circumcise him," etc., etc., because of the Jews. Now, he was a commendable young man who joins the team of evangelists, and they're going on their way to preach the gospel. That means that Timothy now was going to leave his secular employment. He was going to make the sacrifice of leaving his home, and he was going to join company with these preachers and pioneer with the gospel message into new territory. Here then is the companionship of Timothy. See how the team is growing. Now, when you come down to verses 8 and 9, you read there, "And they passing by Midian." Now remember, it's Dr. Luke who's writing this record, of course, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And he says, "And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored." Now I want you to notice the difference between saying they and he and we. From here on in the Acts of the Apostles, you have certain sections that are called the we sections. That is, we. When he says we, it means that the writer is one of the party. When it says they, then it signifies that he is not with the party at that time. But now it would appear then that Dr. Luke was a man who lived in Troas, and at Troas he is going to join the party, and later on there will be four of them who will go over as an evangelistic team to pioneer with the gospel in the regions of Macedonia, which of course was into Europe. Now, having said this concerning the companionships of these men, Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, notice the differences. They were different in their ages, different in their backgrounds, different in their professions, different in their education, yet they had one thing in common. That is, they'd all come to know the Lord. That led to another thing they had in common. They were all willing to pioneer together and to help one another in the spread of the glorious gospel. Now, verses 4 through 6 set before us the course they pursued. Now, when one moves out on a course of service for the Lord, he may know very little at the beginning where the course will lead him before the end is reached. But if one is faithful with the things that come to hand, then the Lord will open the door to larger and wider fields of service. I think this is something that needs to be emphasized today. For instance, a man gets converted, and the moment he comes to know the Lord, he says, I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going away to some dark heathen country. I'm going to be a pioneer with the gospel. Yes, that may be a good desire, but it may not be God's will. Someone else says, I know of a district that greatly needs the word. Oh, I know of a country, and there's a great need there. Now I want to go and meet that need. Friend, knowing of a need is no guarantee that God is calling you to meet that need. It may be that God is exercising you regarding it, but it may not be God's will for you to go. Now perhaps as a Christian listening to me, and you're saying to yourself, well, that's strange. If I know of a need, shouldn't I go and help to meet that need? No, my friend. For example, here could be a mother. She has her husband living with her, and she has her children. Her responsibility is to care for her husband and to care for her children. But she's reading a missionary report, and she hears of a great need away in a foreign land. There's nothing wrong with knowing of that need, and she knows definitely what the need is. But that doesn't mean that God wants her to leave her husband and leave her children and run away to a foreign country and say, the Lord has called me to come out here and preach, for he hasn't. That's definite. Now, we may know of a need. Paul knew of a need here, but notice what happened. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and the elders which were at Jerusalem. That was good. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. That's even better. You see, the churches, that is, the people who were saved, were being edified. The churches were being established in the faith, that is, the believers were being established in the faith. and they were increasing in number daily. Now it's when you come to verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and watch this statement, and were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Does that seem strange to you? Why God the Holy Spirit should prohibit these men from going into that area to preach the gospel when there was such a great need? They knew there was a need there, but so did God. God knew there was a need, and may I remind you that God knew exactly how he was going to meet that need. God had another man that he was going to send there, and actually Paul and his companions were being prepared to go elsewhere. And so the Spirit of God has got to come in and suffer them not. You see, they were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And when they couldn't go in one direction, then they came to Mysia. And from there they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. You see, God's stops may just be as important as his steps. He may guide you in certain steps, but he may also come in and stop. These men were going in a certain direction, which was right, and then suddenly they were stopped. In plain words, mission was accomplished there. God had another place he was going to send them. And so, coming, there was no other direction for them to go. They couldn't go north. They couldn't go south. They certainly were not going to turn back to the east. So they come over, and they come as far as a place called Troas. You see, they pursued a certain course, but then they received a check. Now let me explain this again, in case you didn't get it. Stops can be as much the guidance of the Lord as steps. If the Lord guided you positively in a certain direction, you are sure of it, that's fine. But all of a sudden God breaks into your life and he stops. You say, I can't understand it, but God does. God makes no mistakes. See, if the Lord closes a door, it is obvious he will open another. Now the discipline of restraint will develop one's patience. Restraint will prepare us for accepting positive guidance when it comes. So therefore there was the check that they experienced. God stopped them, and they had to wait. Now, as they wait then, they arrive in Troas. Reading from verse 8 through verses 9 and 10, at your first reading you would be apt to think this: they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. But I want you to notice this: we're not told how much time passed between verse 8 and verse 9. You would almost think that it was that night that Paul received this call of his vision, but it wasn't. I'll tell you why. They passing by Mysia came down to Troas. The vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed to him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. I wonder, how long had Paul and his companions to wait at Troas before they received the call to come over to Macedonia? Now remember, there was a need in Asia, but a need did not constitute a call. Human reason or logic could not decide the issue. God brought them to the point where they had to wait for guidance. And after waiting, they recognized the true call when it was given. What Paul and his companions required was the right direction. Now, might I say this, that every one of us, no matter who we may be, every one of us stands today in need of having the right direction. Young people growing up in life need to get the right direction in life. They need to be directed. Otherwise, they'll make mistakes. As we grow older, we still need to have direction. Now, the Word of God lays down a certain principle: in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now, do you get the principle? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I suggest to you that when Paul and his companions were at Troas, it was there they had to wait patiently until they received directions from God. And when once they received the directions from God, they knew how to move. But waiting time is not wasted time, because when you come over to a later chapter, you'll discover this, that Paul comes back again with other companions to the city of Troas. And when he comes to Troas, you'll find a group of believers there, in plain words, a local church, Christians gathering together for Christian fellowship. And when Paul came back to Troas, he met with them and stayed with them a week. I ask you in all fairness, how and when were these people converted? How was the church established in Troas? May I suggest this from the reading of this passage? It was right there, when Paul and his companions had to wait in Troas, that the work was done. He wasn't wasting his time. He was simply waiting for God's guidance, and while he waited, he engaged in a good service for God, and souls were saved. Another local church was established on the shores of the sea, right there in the little town of Troas. But now, it was while they were there that they received the call. Now, the Greeks who lived in Macedonia were highly cultured and advanced in education, but they required someone to tell them the way of salvation. See, verse 9 says, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, the Macedonia of that day was what today we might call Upper Greece, northern part of Greece. And here is an educated man, a cultured man, in the vision, of course, and he's saying, come over and help us. Now, remember this, Paul and his companions had the desire to preach the gospel over in Asia Minor. But now God wants them to come over to Europe. Oh, you and I must be thankful for that, that the Spirit of God led them this direction. And verse 10 says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we. Now there, the writer, Dr. Luke, brings himself into the picture as I have indicated. We endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So they would have to wait for the boat and get on board the boat and come over into Macedonia. But there was unanimous agreement regarding the call of God. There was no doubt in any of their minds. He said, immediately after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. There was unanimous agreement regarding the call of God. There was an immediate effort to obey the directions they received. There was the conviction that Europe must have the gospel. May I suggest that when a group of Christians share in a conviction like this, where there is a unanimous agreement regarding the work of the Lord, and where there is an effort to obey the directions that are given in the Word of God, because God is not going to give us visions of the night in these days, but he gives us the Word. And if we're willing to obey the directions received in the Word, if there's a conviction that the gospel must be sent out, then you can rest assured a work will be accomplished. This introduces one of the sections in the Acts where the writer again puts himself in with this group, and in our next study we'll see what happened when they came over to Europe.